In Agaris HaKodesh, chapter 10, or Simon 10, however, Perek 10, can be found on page 439, 440.
Are you just getting started?
Yes. In the, this deal, it's not really a tzedakah letter, but it kind of sort of is a tzedakah letter, but he doesn't start out like a tzedakah letter like the other ones did. Mm-hmm. So here he's talking about, here in this one, he talks about the different levels of kindness. Okay, and since there's so much kindness and rahmanis abounding in the world, well then you ought to give some. That's sort of like the gist of the letter. Okay, so he says, Acher Drishus Sholem, which is a standard way of opening up a letter. If you're doing any type of a, I guess, semi-formal or formal letter, it's the pertinent and proper Hebrew way of saying, hey, how you doing? Now let's get down to business.
Uh-huh. Who may concern?
It's better than that. This one is dear so and so. Acher Drishus Sholem. So then you say, I hope you're doing well and your family is fine and everything's really good. We're okay too. That's sort of like Acher Drishus Sholem, which literally means after inquiring about your peace. You know, so that the Alter Rebbe includes that here, which we haven't had any letters that started that way.
True.
So the idea being here that the Alter Rebbe isn't the Alter Rebbe didn't just use expressions flippantly,
right?
And if the Alter Rebbe, if it was incorporated in Tanya, if it is included here, there is an expression of deep connection that the Alter Rebbe wants to extend to the recipients of this letter. I'm not sure. There's no history of these letters as to where they came from. Maybe it's in other Svarim since the Svarim that I have been published. But I don't think anybody's really done any history of these letters, per se. As to who this was written to, if it was written to an individual, if it was written to a community. But the expression, Acher Drishus Sholem, means that the Alter Rebbe is extending himself in a very personal way.
Wow. That's huge.
It's one thing for a chassid to be makusha to the Rebbe. The hiskashas, people talk about, this is one of the primary subjects of Hasidic forbringings, is our connection to the Rebbe. And what we can do to improve our connection to the Rebbe, and things like that. But there's another thing over here going on. Here, this is the connection of the Rebbe to us.
Yeah.
So it's one thing for you to try, but it's another thing for the Rebbe to try.
It's a whole different world.
It is, because it says there's a saying among Hasidim that the Rebbe's picked their Hasidim. And how is it that some people have a schus to be some type of a chassid, and some people have a schus to be some other type of a chassid, and some people don't have a schus to be a chassid? Is really, it's up to the Rebbe more than to them.
Wow.
Which, looking at myself, I kind of say, what was he thinking? But, you know.
It's scary business, I gotta tell you.
Like, huh? You know? And so, well, I figured kind of like, it was sort of like after you get done with like everybody else, oh, he's still standing? Okay, come on. You'll be on my team.
Yeah.
You know, so. So, but then. V'chaim pasuk divrei yo'ezer oizen shoma as teichachas chaim, asher haichiach Hashem chaim. This is a quote from Ecclesiastes, I believe. That we open words which will arouse the ear that hears the reproof of life, that is the reproof of Hashem, which is life. He's got to say something over here. Okay, there's always something. These letters have always been the gist. There's something going on that really needs my attention. Okay, and if I tell you you're doing it wrong, well, maybe you'll get your act together. That's actually is the major gist of all the letters that are printed in a Agaris HaKodesh. But there's something that really needs improvement. Not necessarily something wrong, but there's something that needs improvement.
Needs attention, right.
Okay. Now here, this expression,
improvement.
The pshat in this pasuk is that if you accept reproof, you are opening up a channel for life.
Yeah.
Here, the Alter Rebbe is saying that the reproof itself is life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what that? What is that being? It says the
Mishle.
Yeah, Mishle. That's Proverbs.
Yes.
Va'amar al yedei nevi'oi, through the prophets. Okay. Va'amar chas, the previous prophet was Jeremiah. This prophet is Shlomo. Va'amar chas de Hashem ki lo tamnu. And he quotes this through the prophets. We know. Listen, everybody knows that the pasuk chas de Hashem ki lo tamnu was written by a prophet. Mm. It's a pasuk. It's true that Hasidim and Nach are not necessarily the best of friends. It says there is a story of a chosid of the Alter Rebbe who walked into a shul someplace, and he found sitting on a table in the back of the shul, he saw a Shira Shirin. Uh-huh. You know, from
yeah.
A Shira Shirin, we know what Rashi's time, whatever it was. He opened it up and he started thumbing through it, and he said, "Oh my goodness, it's filled with Lakuti Torah." Maybe a person doesn't know that Chas de Hashem ki lo tamnu is a pasuk specifically from Mishle.
Yeah.
But it's got that pasuk ring to it.
Uh-huh.
That at least it sounds like a pasuk.
Yeah.
So here the Alter Rebbe says it is through a Navi.
Right.
The Navi says Chas de Hashem ki lo tamnu. Why does he have to say it says the Navi says? Anybody have a little bit of a footnote? Especially, you know, Proverbs, okay. I mean, you know, these things do get studied sometimes, because he wanted to emphasize that just as it is that the words that we're starting out this letter with are absolutely 100% true, because we believe with an absolute faith that every verse of Tanakh is 100% true.
Sure.
It is listed in Maimonides Yud Gimel Ikrim, known as the Ani Mamin. And the reason why we believe that every pasuk is true is nothing that Jews believe is based on blind faith.
Right.
But if you look at the 13, we're not going to go through all 13, but if you look at the 13 principles of faith, the first one is I believe that there's something called a creator.
Yes.
Okay, basically before everything else, there's a creator. And how do I know there's a creator? Well, there's a created.
Exactly.
And the created has to have come from something.
Right.
And that creator created the world.
Right.
And how does the Rambam define the creator? Without going into any details or long explanations, the Rambam says that the creator was first. That's how he defines Hashem, the creator. First. Then he says this creator has no body, and you can't believe that it has a body.
Right.
And this creator knows all the thoughts of man, and we're created over here, and this is the only one we have the ability to pray to. So given all that, and there's this thing called reward and punishment, and the ultimate reward is Mashiach coming. And he just went through basically all 13, except this one now. So it would not be fair to say that Hashem created a world, put us in it, expects us to act properly, without giving us a guide.
Capacity, right.
A guide.
Yes.
How to act properly.
To get it done, right.
So therefore we believe that Tanakh is the guide that Hashem gave us in order that we should be able to fill our purpose in being here.
Right.
That's why we believe what we believe. That's why we believe that every verse in Tanakh is 100% true. So just as it is, he starts and he says with the words of the Navi, he mentions the Navi, that what he says is 100% true, that the Chas de Hashem ki lo tamnu, that the kindness of Hashem never ever ends. So too also this entire letter is an expression of 100% truth. So what verses he quote to get us in the mood? And again, what he does is, as in many discourses, the author is going to quote a pasuk, and sometimes they ask questions, most of the time they ask questions on it. In this case, he asks one question, which he doesn't answer, and then immediately goes off on a tangent.
Had to be from Texas.
Short attention span, huh?
No, okay. Lots of rabbit trails.
Yeah, okay.
Squirrel.
So he says, Chaste Hashem Kilo Tama, the kindnesses, in English, the plural of kindness is kindness.
Yes.
Okay, but here you have Chasidim, you have Chesed,
yeah.
And the plural of Chesed is Chasidim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is Chaste Hashem, the kindnesses of Hashem will surely never end.
What would be the plural of Hasidim in English? Hasidises?
Hasidim? Pious ones.
No.
Hasidim is plural. It's Chasid.
In Lashon HaKodesh, it's plural.
Yeah.
Okay. Chasid is the name, is the proper name, so you don't translate that, okay, into English. So Chasid is Chasid in English.
Okay, so what's
what is
English?
The plural?
Chasids? Chasids.
Yes.
Okay.
Chassids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be chassids. Yeah. So, Havelei Alimor Ki Lo Tamu. Really, the verse should have said not Ki Lo Tamu, that for sure will never end, but simply Ki Lo Tamu. It will never end.
Hmm.
What's this Shirley business that's stuck in there?
Hmm.
Don't call me Shirley. Yes. Hmm. So, Kamosha Kasav Kilo Tama Chasidah, because we have another pasuk that this other pasuk clearly says that your kindness, meaning Hashem's, doesn't end.
Hmm.
Okay, that's the question that he asks. He doesn't answer it. It really has no forbearance. But the Yuvan Al Pimasha Kasav Zohar. You notice that we said the kindnesses. So the Zohar explains. What does it mean, kindnesses? Eis chesed ve'eis chesed. There are two types of kindness. Eis chesed olam ve'eis chesed ilohu rab chesed. You have the lower level of chesed, which he calls here chesed olam. It's also referred to in Tanya back in the mid-40s. He referred to it as avas olam. Same deal. Avos Olam, Ava Rabba.
Right.
So here he calls it Chesed Olam and Chesed, or a Rab Chesed or Chesed Rab Ilah.
Right.
The being synonymous. Is there a difference between Chesed Ilah and Rab Chesed? There probably is.
Yeah?
Yes. There probably is. One refers to a specific level slightly different than the other. They're both going to be a whole lot bigger than Chesed Olam, the lower level of Chesed. But there might be...
No, don't leave it.
There might be...
As it is, you might be driving.
Yeah. There is
so
a...
You
know, I got it. I got it a little bit because I got a lot of schmutz in it. Okay, there is... Incomparable speaking... How is it that a person develops Avas Olam? He said back in the 40s that a person meditates on the greatness of Hashem, how Hashem fills all worlds and encompasses the worlds.
Mm.
And then since we're talking about worlds,
yeah.
So it just so happens that the word Olam, which means everlasting, also means world. So he's meditating about the world. Okay, how Hashem fills all the worlds and encompasses the worlds and how the world is considered like nothing to Hashem. And then when a person's got that down, what have they achieved? The lower level of love.
Yeah,
that's the lower level.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the same deal over here. Okay, you have a chesed, a kindness which relates to the world, and you have a kindness which doesn't relate to the world, which is more of a primordial, ethereal kindness.
Okay.
Okay, because Hashem is the one of the answers as to why Hashem created the world. Mm-hmm. One of the non-Hasidic texts writes, because Teva Hatev Lehetiv, it's the nature of good to do good. Mm-hmm. Since it is that Hashem is good, and Hashem is all good, so if that be the case, then it's the nature of good to do good, and so Hashem created a world in order to do good. Okay, so in a primordial state, and this is going to come up later, in some sort of ethereal, non-developed state of spirituality, kindness is also going to be manifest. And that's what he's going to lead us into now.
Okay.
Everybody knows. This is like one of those things. You know, you're 2 years old, you know. Everybody knows this.
Sure, everyone knows.
The Torah is called strength. And that happens to be part of Davini, at least in our Nusach. Hashem oiz liyamo yitin, Hashem yivorech asama v'shalom, right? Hashem gave the oiz to his people. Ein oiz elateira. Hashem gave strength to the Jewish people. What's the strength that he gave to the Jewish people? It's the Torah. That's a straight Gemara.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's oiz? Word oiz means strength, intestinal fortitude, something to that, like a real inner core strength.
Yeah.
That's what oiz is. Might, they translate it. What's might different than strength? I don't know if Merriam-Webster would be able to help us, per se, in this instance, being that they'd probably be just considered as synonymous. And it would probably just list other synonyms to define the difference between might and strength.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Shehu Lashon Gevura. The word oiz is an expression of Gevura. Gevura doesn't mean strength. Gevura means withholding, holding back. That's what Gevura means. Chesed means give. Gevura means don't give.
In this context.
That's the pu'ula, what the form of the sphera means. Okay, we want to say, okay, Gibor is a strong person and Gvura means, no. That's a simple translation. But its function is holding back because it takes strength. The Chesed wants to give. You need the strength to hold back.
Hold back, right.
Kemesha Amr Chazal, Teriag Mitzvah Nemer Lamesha Messinai, Mepiha Gvura. As it says, a statement quoting the Gemara. There are 613, the Gemara Makkos. There's 613 commandments that were told to Moshe at Sinai from the mouth of the Almighty. Mepiha Gevura. What does that mean, the Gevura? The Mepiha Gevura means, he's going to say over here, that mitzvahs are very defined. They're an expression of Gevura. Even though you have such statements as, Rabbi Hanani Makasha Omar Rasa Kosh Baruch Hu Zachas Yisrael, that Rabbi Hanani Makasha says that Hashem wanted to give merit to the world. That's why he gave them so many mitzvahs, that they should have merit.
Right.
Okay, but what are those merits? Well, first of all, the 365s. Did you eat blood? Did you eat bugs? Did you kill anybody? Did you kidnap anybody? Okay, so all of those are, how were you able to control yourself? And then he's going to say right now also, even the things that you did do. Okay? The things that you do also have to be limited. We know for sure there's a mitzvah, for example. One of the negative commandments is not to add on to a mitzvah, not to detract from a mitzvah.
Right.
So, kideksiv mimei eish das lamoi. That means from his right hand is a fire of knowledge. The Torah is an expression of eish, of fire. And fire is related to gevura. As we know, the story of the first time that the Mizrachim Magid came to the Baal Shem Tov. There's a whole story in how we even got to the Baal Shem Tov, which was a maisa from 20 years in the making, which we're not going to go into right now. But the Mizrachim Magid, who was an erudite scholar, wanted to check out this person called the Baal Shem Tov. So he goes and he has Yechidus, and the Baal Shem Tov is asking, did you ever study Zohar? So he said, yeah. So the Baal Shem Tov took off his Zohar and he said, could you explain this piece to me right here? As the piece describing the Kisei Akava at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, Yeshaya, with the Kaddish, and the angels, and the Chayas and Eifan, etc., you know, so. So he started reading, and it says you have in the center, you have the Kisei Akava, and Hashem's right side, you have the angel Mechoyel, is 186,000 camps, and is the camps of water, and on the left side is Malach Gavriel, which is comprised of fire, is 153,000 camps. And he stopped him, and he said, it's a little dry. Maybe you could liven it up a little bit. So he went into the whole thing about here with the camps, with the water and kindness and the fire and Gevura, and he's explaining it. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, it's still missing something. So he went into this whole long thing about it, and he's really schwitzing, and he's describing what it is, and the Baal Shem Tov stopped him and said, can I have the book a second? And he took the book, and he started to read. He says, you have the Kisei Akavod. And behind the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezuzah Maggid saw the Kisei Akavod. And Hashem's right side is the Malach Mechoyel, who is comprised of water, and is 186,000 camps of angels, and the whole right side of the room became flooded with these water angels. And then on the left side of the Hashem is the Malach Gavriel, with 153,000 camps. The whole left side of the room burst into flame. And so you got this water flooding on one side, and the other half of the room is being flooded is being burnt on the other side. And the Baal Shem Tov is continuing to read very calmly. He closed the book, and the whole scenario disappeared. And he looked to the Mezuzah Maggid and said, "Now do you know what it means to learn?" So the Mezuzah Maggid kind of understood that he needed to stick around. Okay, so we say that fire is an expression of Gevura. And it's true that anything that you want to go towards is an expression of kindness. Love is an expression of kindness. Sugar is an expression of kindness. Water is an expression of kindness. Anything that you want is an expression of kindness. Okay, anything that you want to run away from that would be scary is an expression of Gevura. Like, for example, fire, okay, or ghost peppers, or who invented those things, and for what purpose, or anything of that, or that nature, is all an expression of Gevura. Okay, as it says now, so the mitzvahs are an expression, as they are manifest in this world, ultimately they're an expression of kindness, because ultimately everything is an expression of kindness. Yes. But as it comes into this world, it has to be an expression of Gevura, because this world was created primarily through the attribute of Gevura. That's why it says the Rishayim Gevurim Bay, the wicked dominate in this world. According to one opinion, I think it was the Rakanti, but don't quote me on it, who believes that the creation lasts for 7,000 years. Right. And after 7,000 years, what happens?
Shem starts over.
Right. And we're in the second one. We're in the Gevura one. The first one was Chesed, and we're in the Gevura because of the statement that the world was created by Gevura, and it says, you know, the Rishayim are Gevurim Bo. So this is the Gevura Machzer. And the next one after the year 7,000 is going to start all over again. That one will be the compassion one. That would be a really good one to get into. Where everything's in compassion. Everything's in compassion. Okay? So, in this world, everything's expression of Gevura, of restraint, holding back. Lefisha hatirim kerer v'shorshu hu rak chaste Hashem, and since it is that the Torah, the source of the Torah, is an expression of Hashem's kindness, and it's called Yamin, as it says, miminoi esh daslami, from His right. The Torah is essentially kind, but how does it express itself? In Gevura, Hayam Shachas Bechinas Alakusi Yisborach V'Ha'orim Amarim Say Baruchu Ela Oilam Asel Yonim V'Tach Tvenim Al Yedei Ha'odam Hamam Shuch Ha'or Al Atzmei Bumkiyam Ramach Mitzis Asei Shem Ramach Yavorin Demalka. Very long sentence. And we see it clearly. That what happens, that the godly, the infiniteness of Hashem is drawn down into this world, specifically when there's an Hisaris Milamata, when we're getting excited and we're doing the mitzvahs. And specifically, what are the mitzvahs? The mitzvahs are an expression of the will of Hashem, and each one is a specific extension of the will of Hashem. Hence the expression that the 248 mitzvahs, the 248 limbs, meaning extensions of Hashem's will, of the king. And with all the ramifications that are discussed in chapter 4, and in chapter 22, and in chapter 35, and in Agaris at Tshuva, and dozens of other places. Because this is really the major emphasis. One of the major tenets of Hasidic philosophy by the Baal Shem Tov is the importance of Hiddur Mitzvah. Okay, the Baal Shem Tov had, I think, maybe 4, 5, 6, depending how you count. Tenants. Okay, everything has to be done with joy. You have to speak specifically about prayer and using prayer as a form of self-improvement. There has to be emphasis on Torah study. You have Ashgacha Pratis. Every Jew is the same. And the idea of Hiddur Mitzvah. That's basically, if you could boil down Hasidic philosophy into bullet points, those are the bullet points.
Pretty much got it, right?
So the D being Hiddur Mitzvah, okay, because every mitzvah that a person does brings down the infiniteness of Hashem into the world.
Right.
Okay, so if you're putting on tefillin that are 2 fingers by 2 fingers, are you bringing in the infiniteness of Hashem? Yes, you are. If your tefillin are 4 by 4, are you bringing in more infiniteness? Well, that's kind of a strange statement. You're bringing in twice as much infiniteness? Yeah, how's that work? Okay, so you might say that they become a better receptacle for the dissemination of the infinite yetness.
Yes.
Yes. That would be the need for Hiddur Mitzvah.
Right.
And we should go look. The Baal Shem Tov said you should go looking for Hiddur Mitzvah. And don't worry about the Baal Shem Tov said, don't worry about the cost. Hashem takes care of those. Right? You know, bottom line mitzvahs.
Yeah.
You know, don't begrudge them.
Right.
You know, you can complain how much the 4x4 tefillin cost, but it's okay. God's picking up the tab.
Yeah.
I've only bought 3 pairs.
Okay.
Not including my kids.
Yeah. Pirish. Remach kelim of the levushim lahaora ma'orin se baruch ha malubush behem. That means to say that by you doing a mitzvah, you doing the 248 positive commandments, you are creating 248 vehicles and garments for the ray or the illuminance of the infiniteness of Hashem, which is enclosed in them. And so, you know, you talk about Hiddur Mitzvah. Okay, so you could go to, Barney's Bargain Basement and buy a suit for $99 and with a tie with a shirt, and you'll look like a guy wearing a suit with a tie and a shirt.
Right.
Okay, or you could go into Luma Vogue, one of these places, spend $1,500 for a suit with a tie and a shirt. And you know what? The deal is you'll be more presentable. Okay, that's the deal. It's the same two-piece suit. It's the same shirt. It's the same tie. Okay, but the guy wearing the $1,500 suit is more presentable. So the Hiddur Mitzvah does that also. I usually give the example of the television. Okay, you want to watch football. So you could watch a football on a 4-inch black and white television. You'll see every play. You won't miss a bit. Okay? But how many people have 4-inch black and white televisions? Okay, what are they up to now? 90-inch projector, high D, LCD, whatever, multi, whatever, television sets.
Right.
Okay.
The Lions are beating the Giants by a score of 35.
Okay. And usually I tell people when I talk to them about mezuzahs. So mezuzahs, you have to have all kinds of mezuzahs. Mezuzahs range in price. A kosher mezuzah ranges in price from $35 to about $120 for the scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I tell people is the type of mezuzah that you should have should be on par with your television. If you're going to go out and spend the bucks that you want to have a hoo-ha television, yeah. So spend the bucks and get hoo-ha mezuzahs.
Right.
Don't tell me that you want to spend $5,000 for your television set and say it's enough that I have the $35 mezuzah.
Right.
Sorry. If you want to have hitter in this, have hitter in this as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hitter or miss.
Hit or miss?
Hitter or miss.
Hitter or miss, yes. Mm. Okay. Because, listen, it just so happens that watching television on an 8-foot projector screen is a whole lot easier, more pleasurable, you might say, than watching on a 4-inch black and white. Okay? It just happens to do the job better. So, doing mitzvahs behider just happens to do the job better.
Correct.
Will the guy with the 2x2s bring godliness into the world? Yeah.
Yes.
So will the 4-inch television.
The Sfarim say it's...
4-inch television. Okay, no, that's their hitter. Okay. Rak shehamshacha zu nislav shetchila b'midas gvorosa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The deal is that this godliness first goes through the process, just like everything else in the world. It has to be processed. It has to be contained. Hamakuvana v'shem esh, and we call that processing the gevurah. We call it fire. Mimnai esh das lamo. His right hand is a fire of knowledge. Shehulachin is simsum ha'or v'chayas hanimshachas mo'rinitzet baruch hu. What happens now is that this infiniteness of Hashem has to be processed so to make it user friendly. Hashem wants us to tap into the infiniteness of Hashem. It just so happens, as far as I know, there's nobody whose arms are long enough to hug God. And if you want to hug God, well, he provides these like shortcuts.
Trees.
Kidei shetecha lehislavish b'maisa ha-mitzvah sherubim kulim heim dvarim ha-chumrim. For example, okay, so Hashem has a desire. The desire is that this godliness be revealed in this world.
Right.
And so what has to happen? Hashem creates channels and paths
to make that
circuits
right.
For the godliness to come down.
Yes.
And that way it happens in a very specific way.
Right.
Like he says, for example, ketzitzis. Tzitzis have a specific shear. There are specific laws about the dimensions of tzitzis. The beged has to be a minimum of 19 inches, an amma by an amma. The preferred material for the tzitzis themselves is that they be of the same material as the garment
right.
But if not, then to make them out of wool or linen, because that would make it, therefore that's really what clothing is supposed to be made out of. They have to be a minimum from the corner, from the first knot to the end of the strings, has to be 12 thumbs. Why is this kind of a number? Okay, we come up with these numbers because it's really easy. Because if you just take your tzitz, and you grab it by the corner, and you're going 1, 2, 3, pinch it between your thumb and your first finger, and you count thumbs. Okay? Isn't God wonderful? Okay, you could say 3/4 of an amma. So then what you got to do is you got to pull your tzitz up. You got to put the corner of the baguette next to your elbow and see if it comes up 3/4 of the way to the end of your middle finger and kind of judge, okay. You know, so how are you going to do that?
Our elbows are...
So that, how's that going to be? So, but thumbs are easy this way, for example. Okay? If your tzitz is having to be 13 thumbs long, does that make them better? No, it doesn't, as a matter of fact. Once you get certain things done, I mean, there are people who tell you that there are hidurim in the strings themselves. Some people prefer thick strings as a hitter. Some people prefer and say, no, dafka, very thin strings. When I first became from, so there was something called valis tzitzis. I had no idea what Valis Titzis meant. Okay, but I walked into the Judaica store on Kingston Avenue, and I said, I need a talus cutting. So he says, you want with Valis Titzis? And I said, what's the difference? He said, Valis Titzis cost $4 more. So I said, must be better then. Okay, what I know, Valis Titzis, Valis means this is a guy in Jerusalem by the name of Wallace. There. And they're his. He sits and he twines them.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was up as a somebody a hoo ha, but his kids took over, and the second pair of Valis Titzis I had broke because the kids didn't know how to do it as good. So I said, forget it. So and now they don't even ask you anymore. You want the Valis Titzis, you know? So so that was considered a hitter because they were super thin and super strong, which would be my idea of a good time when talking about titzis. If they don't break, that's a real good thing. Okay.
I have expensive tzitzis.
Yeah, you have these kind of things. Oh, you got the blue ones. Okay, fine. With this blue, what do you call it on it? So, yeah. So, wish you lots of luck. Anyway, so, then, you have the tefillin. Tefillin have to be a minimum of 2x2. And there's a maximum, by the way. If your tefillin are too big, they don't work. Okay, the tefillin have to go. The front of the tarturim, which is the base of the tefillin, have to sit on where your hairline used to be. And all of us, you know, when you get past 30, the hairline, you have to sort of go on the used to be's.
Look at you.
You know? So, and it can only go back.
Most hair that's
in the back of the tefillin, meaning the end of behind where the tunnel is, can't go back past the fontanelle, which would be the fontanelle on a baby. So your tefillin can only be that big. Okay? If you start getting bigger than that, which is a big problem that I see when you have these little bar mitzvah bacher. Because if I'm going to buy a pair of tefillin for my kid, how many times do I want to buy tefillin for my kid? I want to buy tefillin for my kid once. So, but here you got this bar mitzvah kid. Okay? The bar mitzvah kid is like 4'3". And he wears a size 6.5 hat. Yeah. And you get him these 4x4s that take up half of his head. Hello?
There was a gamach going a few years ago. I saw this in Crown Heights. Not for the Rosh, Shel Rosh, but for the Shel Yad, because those were dafka, exactly like you're saying, you get a 4'3" guy, the
Shel Rosh takes up his whole bicep.
Takes his whole bicep up. Okay, so they were giving, you got the 4x4 for the Rosh, but you got a smaller Shel Yad.
And when the kid grew up a little bit,
you could trade him in and they would...
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's certain specific sizes. Okay, they can't be too big, they can't be too small. Carbonus has specific animals and specific times, specific ways, and Sedaka also. All these things have their minimum amounts, their maximum amounts. Af mitzvah shehen beruchnias ha'adam. Even spiritual mitzvahs, kama yir and ava, they also have sizes. How much do you have to love Hashem? For example, that's all, you know, that's the size. That's the size of how much you have to love Hashem.
Just all.
Not less, not more.
Right.
Everything is measured amount. It's like there's a Hayomim, it's quoted in the Chassidus, it's just as you feel the tightness of the Shel Yad on your arm and the heaviness of the Shel Rosh on your head, you should feel the love and fear of Hashem in your heart. You have to feel it. It's not just, you know, sitting and imagining. Mm. Okay, there's a story involving the Mezitra Magid again, this must be his night, that he had a Chavrusa as a kid. And they went their ways. And one day, the Chavrusa, he's announcement. He's a businessman, and he's traveling to the fair in Berdichev, and he's passing through Mezrich, and he would like to come and visit the Mezrich Magid. So he says, fine, they catch up. He comes in the afternoon, he visits, they're talking, and he says, listen, we got to go to sleep. I'll catch up with you tomorrow after davening. Okay? So this guy's an erudite scholar. And he daven until 10 o'clock.
Right.
The Mezitra Magid daven until 4 o'clock. And the guest asked the Mezitra Magid, what have you been doing all this time? And he says, I daven. And he said, I daven too. I was done at 10 o'clock. He said, I daven with the kavanas of the Rizal. He said, I also daven with the kavanas of the Rizal. So the Mezid Shemaka didn't say anything. Later when they're sitting and eating, which for the Mezid Shemaka was breakfast, so he asked him, so what brings you to town? He says he's passing through from his town to Berdichev to go to the fair, right. And he buys wholesale and sells retail. That's how he makes his living. So he says, and how long does it take you? He says, it takes, the whole journey is about 2 weeks. He has to do it like three times a year, four times a year he has to do it. So he says, that's a lot of time wasted. He says, I got an idea for you. Why don't you just sit in your chair in your living room, and you'll sit and you'll imagine. You'll think it through. Now I'm packing up this, and now I'm loading the wagon, and now I'm traveling here, and now I'm traveling here, and you'll do it in great detail. And now I'm buying this and this and this, and I'm paying this and this, and he's giving me this and much change. And I'm going this and this. And he said, you could do the whole trip in just a couple hours. And he said, yeah, that's true, except there's one problem. He says, I didn't come back with any merchandise.
Right.
So the Mr. Zichermaga said, that's the difference between your davening and my davening.
Right.
He says, you're davening that this is, you're here and you're here and you're here. Okay? But for me, I'm actually there. It takes longer. Okay. No mitzvah is infinite. Ki ava rava la Hashem b'li kesev v'ula mida ein adam yachol lisboi loy b'liboi. We're talking ava rava. We said there's chesed olam and chesed rava, chesed ilah. So chesed ilah, forget about. That's a primal expression of divine kindness. You're never going to get that ever. If you were ever exposed to it, you would have immediate flip out. You would cease to exist because we were exposed to it once.
Yeah.
When?
Sinai.
Yep. I feel very good. My result. Shabbat Shas Matan Tater. Shahaisa. He's Galus. Elokusi is Borah. I ain't said Borah. But when he's deeper, he's Galus. Parchanish Musan. Hashem kind of flashed it. It wasn't even a great amount. It was a little flash.
Yeah.
Of Rav Chesed, of this upper level of Chesed. And what happened? They all, their souls all flew out of their bodies and they all died.
Right.
Okay? So we can't do that.
Right.
Okay? But it's a kindness to us that we do have a way of tapping into Hashem's kindness, right, in a way which Hashem has allowed us to be able to use it. This is a tremendous thing. Okay, we are stopping here on the top of page 441, 442. In the Hebrew, it's Vihine Lefisha HaMitzvahs. It's the first paragraph on the left-hand side. To be continued.